It's good to see you this morning. Amen. This is Sunday morning, October the 17th. For those that are listening on the internet, we are in lesson number 12 in our Staying on Course series, going through the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And today, our lesson is entitled, OnStar, How May I Help You? OnStar, How May I Help You? The lesson coming from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. We have a theme verse. It's actually two verses. And this is what it said. Paul writes here and he says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith." Boy, we can say amen to that today, can we not? You know what? Paul was talking to these folks about something that many times we take for granted. And the thing I want to talk to you today about and teach you in our class today is about the importance of prayer. The importance of prayer. My question to you today would be this: have you taken time to pray today? Have you taken time to pray today? Many folks think that they've got the idea that God is like a little magic genie, and when they need Him or they need something, then they rub the magic lamp of prayer, and God's supposed to just pop out and say, "Okay, I'll give you three wishes today. What are they?" And we get what we want. But folks, that is not what prayer is all about. Prayer is a communication line to God. It is our communication line to God. God speaks to us through His Word. As we read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us, and He shows us what we need to understand and know. But when we have a need, when we have a burden, when we have a heartache, man, we go to God in prayer. I wish I could express to you today the importance of prayer. Folks, prayer is important. It's not something that we just lackadaisically treat and think, well, that's the preacher's job, or that's just what we do on Wednesday night, and that's why I don't go on Wednesday night, you know, type attitude type thing. But prayer is a time that we commune with God. We share our heart with Him. I've got family down in North Carolina. Our grandson's dad, Mike, he's a police officer. Well, he's in ICU right now with COVID. They've called us, and I've been praying that God would help him to live and see that it's God that's got him through this. You know what, folks? There are times that we go to God about different needs. We go to God to praise Him. We go to God to thank Him. I was cutting and stacking wood most of the morning yesterday, up until about 2:30 yesterday afternoon. And I was thanking God for all that wood, just praising Him, because I know what my fuel oil bill is going to be if I get it. And I don't want to have to pay that. And you know what? We can take the trees in the back and cut them up and chop them up and stack it up and have it ready to burn. And boy, that's a blessing to me. And you know what? I was thanking God for that wood. I was thanking God for just being able to sit back down and rest a little bit after I got some of it done. But you know what? There are times that we thank Him for things. We go to Him in need of things. But in the lesson today, Paul is speaking to these folks about the importance of prayer. I have put in your bulletin today a little poem I keep in my Bible. And it's entitled, "No Time to Pray." If you want to look at it, you can see it. It's in the front of your bulletin, in the announcement section there. I want to read it to you this morning. It says this. It says, "I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, 'You didn't ask.' I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Folks, we need to pray. I think this poem just kind of sums it all up about the importance of prayer in the Christian's life. We come before God and we always say, God, I don't understand why I can't get over this problem. Or, God, why does this keep happening to me? Do we ever seriously take time to pray about it and seek what God would have us to do? I remember Brother Lee Robertson teaching us. He taught us as preachers. He taught us as Sunday school teachers and whatever part of the ministry we served in when he would come and speak to us. He spoke to nursery workers. He spoke to bus workers. He spoke to the ushers, okay? He spoke to the men that were called to preach the Word of God. And he would come and tell us all the same thing. And it was just this one simple thought and reminder. And he would say this. He'd say, folks, all of our failures are prayer failures. Now you say, preacher, that doesn't sound very nice. But it's true. Most likely, if you look at the situations in people's lives today, each of the failures that we experience are prayer failures. We didn't take time to pray. We didn't ask for God to help us. The Apostle Paul taught these Thessalonian believers. He taught them that prayer was very important to their livelihood and to their spiritual growth and their everyday way of living. And he also taught them that it was important for them because it kept their communication lines open with the one who had saved them. I've used this illustration many times with you, and I use it again today. I like to keep the line open with my wife. You know, when we were dating, I would call her, and her folks would not allow her to call me. When I was sick, there was a time I was having some problems, and we were still dating at that time, and even after I got married, I had some physical problems that were just, I had to have some surgery for and things like that, my kidneys. And her mom and dad gave her permission to call me, okay, to see how I was doing. Because that was just something young ladies didn't do. Young ladies didn't call boys, okay? Now, I don't know if that's old-fashioned or not, but we taught that to our daughter too, okay? You don't call the boys, let them call you. But, you know, I would call her sometimes, and she'd say, hello. I'd say, what you doing? Nothing much. What you doing? Oh, nothing. And then we didn't have anything else to say. But we just kept the line open just to know that she was on the other end, you know? You know, that's what we do when we go to God each morning. I get up in the morning and I thank the Lord. Man, I got out this morning and had the dog out and it was cold and the grass was wet. And man, it was just a beautiful morning. It was just a beautiful day. And I was just thanking God for all He had done and for the opportunity to be able to teach this lesson about prayer today. It's just talking about things to God and praying for different folks, praying for different ones that's got needs right now. And just take that time. You get the line open and you keep it open with God just all day long. You keep the communication line open. In this last chapter of the book of 2 Thessalonians, Paul taught these dear folks the same truths that we need to understand today, and that prayer is a privilege and it is a blessing that God has given to His people. It is a means for us to communicate with God, to show Him that we love Him, to have the opportunity to ask Him for those things that we do need from time to time. And God wants us to understand that we are able to go to Him at any time. Listen, I don't have to go through some priest. I don't have to go through some pastor. I don't have to go through some communication booth somewhere or whatever else you want to call it. I don't have to do anything except go to him through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that saved me. I got a direct line to God, and so do you if you know him as your Savior today. And God wants us to understand that. You know, the OnStar folks put this thing in the cars many years ago. And if you get in trouble, all you got to do is just press a little button, and somebody is always there. And they'll come up and say, "This is OnStar. How may I help you today?" It even notices when your car has been in an accident. It sets up your GPS, and they send you a message, say, "We've noticed your car's been in an accident. Do you want us to call the police? Or do you want us to call or rescue people?" And you just, all you do is say, "Yes, send them, please." And they're there to help you. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That little OnStar works like that. But you know what? We got something better than that today in the Lord Jesus Christ. We got a Savior that hears us. No matter where we are, no matter what the situation, no matter what time of the day or night, God is there to hear our cry when we go to him. And I want you to look at it, the lesson with me today. I want you to see Paul's prayer request unto God for his people. Look at it with me here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. I want you to see his concern here today. Paul's concern was this. He said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." His concern for these Thessalonian believers, as he had left them now, he was gone away from them. He longed to be with them. But his concern now was that while he was gone, they would forget to pray. And they would forget to specifically pray for him and for the other men that had been there, for Silas and for Timothy and the other men that were there to help encourage them and to teach them about the Word of God. He was concerned that they would forget them, and after he had encouraged them about, you know, the coming of the Lord again and told them how they needed to be serving the Lord because the Lord Jesus was indeed coming again, he was concerned that they would forget to pray for one another. They'd get selfish in their deeds. And that's why he said here, he said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." You know, prayer is something that anybody can do. You don't have to have a college education. You don't have to have a lot of money in the bank. You don't have to have a fine house or a fancy car or a big, great job that you're the boss over 10,000 people and all that. Listen, those are not things that are needed. All is needed for prayer is a willingness to talk to God and to go to him in thanksgiving, in supplication, in time of need. And anybody can do this, no matter how long they've been saved, no matter how long they've been spiritually, you know, in the family of God. And in the sense of this writing, he's implying his desire for this to be done on a consistent and a regular basis, not just when you need something from God. And you know what? I think that's what we've come down to in America today. God has been so good to us that the only time we go to God is when we're about to fall on our face, or we're about to jump off a bridge somewhere and we don't know any other thing to do except end it all. And we say, "Well, God, I guess now, you know, I need you." You know, that's not the way it should be, folks. I enjoy talking to my wife. Man, just spending time with her. You know, just cutting up with her. I enjoy, we have a little duo line that we call our kids, and our kids will call us. And our granddaughter and our grandson will call us. And they'll say, "Hey, Grandpa, what you doing today?" And we get to see them and talk to them. And man, I just love it when they choose to call and talk to me, and when I can choose to call and talk back to them. Man, I love that fellowship time. You know what? God loves that time with us, talking to him as well. What would you think if you said, if you had somebody that said they loved you, but they never communicated with you? They never thanked you for anything. They never came to you and just said, "Hey, I just wanted to be with you today. Would it be all right if I just spend some time with you?" Man, that would just break your heart if they didn't do that. And I wonder how many times we break God's heart. But look what else Paul wanted them to know here and that he was concerned about. He said, I want you to pray for us. But he said, here's the concern of God, that the word of the Lord may have free course. Meaning simply that through their prayers unto God for him and for those men that were presenting the word of God to the folks around them, that God would give them the free opportunity to do what God had commanded them to do. You know, it's not always easy to teach or to preach the word of God. And when you go out soul winning and you go out knocking on doors and things like that, not everybody is going to be kind to you when you open, when you knock on their door and they open up that door. Some folks may sick their dog on you, okay? But you know what? Listen, Paul was concerned because he wanted to be able to give the word of God free course to work in the lives of the people that he communicated with. He wanted to have free course. He wanted the word of God to have the opportunity to get into a person's heart and life, to work in their heart and life. And he needed them to pray about that. Anytime the message of the gospel is given out, listen, it's received by somebody, God is glorified. God is glorified in that. And look what he said. He said that the word of God may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Paul wanted the same thing to happen in the regions surrounding all these folks as what had happened in their lives when the gospel was brought to them. You think about it this morning. When you heard the gospel, and the gospel made such a difference in your heart and life, don't you want that same message to have the same impact on somebody else that you may know? You know, most of the time when we tell folks about Christ, one of the first things they want us to do, they'll come to us and say, well, would you have time to talk to my son or my daughter or my wife or my family? Would you come by and talk to them and tell them about Jesus? And man, I'll say, yeah, we'd be glad to. I've got a family that I talked to this past week. I'm going to be going by to visit with this lady. And she wants us to talk to her 46-year-old son this week about the gospel. I said, man, I'd be glad to. Tell me what time I can be there and I'll be there. I got an appointment with him this week. I want you to be praying about that, that God would give us free course. The word of God would have free course. And that God would be glorified in that. And that's what Paul was talking to him about. And as Paul and these other men of God were found faithful to preach the word of God, they also had to be persecuted. There was persecution that came their way. And what Paul asked them to be praying for was that they may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all have not faith. All have not faith. I remember the boys that live with us, come from China. They thought everybody in America was Christians. And I had to explain to them, no, that's not the situation. Andrew's mom thought everybody in America was Christians because America is a Christian nation. Isn't it strange that all the world knows that, but America denies that? And boy, we've sure turned away from being a Christian nation, have we not? But I remember what they would come and they'd say, man, you know, we've got people over there. I remember Andrew's mom telling me they had a pastor that would come around to the houses and they'd have little closed services they kind of had to keep secret. And one day their pastor didn't come to them and they couldn't find him. I said, what happened to him? And she told me, she said, we think that he was taken because Christian pastors are not allowed. You know, you have state pastors and things like that that obey what the state says do. Do whatever they say do. And you can have blessings with that. But if you preach the gospel, that's not always the good thing over there. And it's getting that way here. But you know what? Paul said here, he said that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. We got to remember that Satan is relentless in his efforts to thwart anything good with the gospel. When you get saved and you've been hanging around some folks that's not saved, and you're wanting to start living for God, and you want to start doing the things that God would have you to do, guess what the devil's going to do? He's going to send some of those folks over and say, man, what's wrong with you? You don't want to go drink anymore? You don't want to do the drugs? You don't want to go to this nightclub? You don't want to do... What is up with you? And you're thinking in your heart, well, do I tell them I got saved? Do I tell them that Christ has made a difference and I don't do those things anymore? What do I do? Satan will do everything he can do to thwart you, stop you from living for God. And I don't care how long you've been saved. He'll do it with jobs. They'll tell you, hey, listen, you can't have that Bible on your desk. In North Carolina, when we were there, we had teachers that worked in the public school. And they always had a Bible on their desk. And we had some teachers that were fired because they refused to take the Bible off their desk. But today, it's all right to fly the gay flag and put stuff up about Muslims and Islam and all this, and take special courses now so that you don't offend anybody, okay? And have all that in public school. And teach your boys and girls that you're not really a little boy, you're not really a little girl, you're just whatever you want to be today. And folks, listen, the devil's going to do whatever he can do to keep us from living for God. And what we've got to do, we need to take time to pray that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But then look what he said in verse number 3 and 4. I want you to see not only his concerns, but I want you to see his confidence today. Paul's confidence. He mentions here, first of all, in verse 3, that his confidence is in the Lord God, who is always faithful. You know what? God is faithful. If you don't know anything else about God, let me tell you something that you can learn and you can understand. God is faithful. God is faithful. Look what he said. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. Listen, if you want to be kept from evil, if you want to be kept from those things that are bad and want to destroy your life, then go to God in prayer and he will help you with that. If you're not serious about it, then you know what? That is your choice. But God is faithful to help you. God is faithful. Look what he said. To establish you. That means to ground you, to fortify you as a born-again child of God. God is faithful to help you if you seek his help. And look at verse 4. He said, we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Paul was confident in the faithfulness of God to help these dear folks to stay faithful, to do what they were supposed to do for God, both now as well as in the future when he was not there with them. Why? Because they took time to seek help from God. Think about it today, folks. I think about the song, "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Man, what a promise we have. And folks, Paul had confidence. Confidence in God and confidence in these Thessalonian believers. He had confidence in what God could do and wanted to do. Listen, he had a concern for them. And his prayer request unto God was for this church and for that dear group of people. But I want you to look at his prayer here in verse number 5. First of all, we see his prayer for the love of God. Let me ask you something today. Do any of you ever pray for the love of God to be manifest in your life? You know what? There are times, there are people I meet that I have difficulty loving or appreciating. Okay? Especially when they say some things that are not very nice. They offend you. They hurt you, and they don't care that they've done that because they feel that they're right and know everybody else is wrong. That's true. And you know what? in the old flesh, it's hard to love somebody like that. That's when you have to pray and ask for God's love. God, help me to love them just like you loved me. Help me, God, to love them in the same kind of love that you had for me when I was the same way. And look what he said here in verse number 5. He said, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Folks, if we love, if we lose our love for God and the work that we do for God, then all of our work is done in vain. If what we do for God is not done in love, then it's all done in vain. The other week when we gave out all this food, we had a 53-foot trailer, refrigerated trailer. I don't remember how many pallets it was full. And we worked from before 1 o'clock in the afternoon to what? We stayed until about 9:30 and got the last stuff done. And you know what? All I could see unloading that trailer is work, 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 work. And I thought, Lord, I've got other things I need to be doing right now. Until the people started coming in. And you saw folks there that you never saw before. They had a need. They had a physical need for food. But many of them had spiritual needs too. And I was the one that had to greet them all and get their cars going up. And I thought, Lord, I'm tired. I need your love today. We had folks there who were honking their horns and only wanted the food. They didn't want to hear anything else about God. But you know what? There were many there that wanted to hear whatever we had to say to them. And you know what? We had to do that in love, in God's love. And folks, whatever you do for God, listen, if you are one of those folks that would be willing to come in and help us clean in this church and keep the house of God clean, you know what? You do it as unto the Lord. I remember when my pastor down in North Carolina came to me and said, you know, he was paying me $8.50 an hour. Now, I had left from being a vice president of operations in a big company, multi-million dollar company. Left that, started there working in the ministry at $8.50 an hour, no insurance. And the pastor came to me and said, I can't give you insurance, but he said, we have a church policy, and I can put you under that umbrella if you would help me clean the church, you and your family clean the church. And you know what? That's what we did. My son loved to clean the commodes. Oh, he loved to wash it down and watch it go down. He said, man, look at it go, look at it go. And he loved to clean the commodes. And he'd go in there and he'd clean commodes. I did the vacuuming. My wife and all did the dusting. My wife and daughter, they did the dusting. And it was a testimony. It was a testimony. Because when folks came to church, they only say something about how clean or how dirty the church is if they see something not right. They never stop to say, man, look how beautiful this church is today. They only complain when it's dirty. They only complain when there's stuff on the floor, and they never bend over to pick it up, you know? They never complain about anything until it's dirty. And I thought, man, I don't want that. And we gave it our best as unto the Lord. And folks, that's how we've got to do things. But you know what? I think that many times we have gotten to be like the first church that's mentioned in the book of Revelation, where God, the Lord Jesus Christ, had John write this letter to the seven churches. And he wrote these words in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. He said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Well, that sounds like a good church, does it not? But look at what he said to him. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Now, these folks were busy for God. They had standards. They didn't compromise. They didn't take this hogwash stuff, political correctness and all this stuff. They were right on all the issues about everything. But Jesus said, John, write this to them. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. What? What? What you got against us, God? We're busy for you. We're doing great things for you. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. They had left their first love for Jesus. They'd gotten mechanical about doing things. They had just been doing it because it was the right thing to do. And they forgot their first love. They left their first love for telling others about the Savior. They probably sat around church and said, well, I wonder where such and such is. But they never picked up a phone to call them and see where they're at. Well, I wonder why many people aren't being saved anymore. But they never came out and went soul winning. Well, I wonder why we had to shut that Sunday school ministry down. Because there was no teacher and they never volunteered to teach. Or wonder why we don't run as many buses on Sunday morning. But they never took the time to love those kids and those parents that need to hear the gospel and say, I'll be willing to go and tell them about Jesus. They left their first love. And notice here too that Paul not only prayed that they would clear the way for all obstacles of people's understanding of God to be out of the way, but Paul prayed for them that they would remain unhindered from losing their first love. He wanted them to remember where God had found them. Folks, that's where many people begin to fall back on serving God. They forget what God did for them, and they lose their first love. But then look what he said. He prayed for the patience of Christ in their lives. He said, and into the patient waiting for Christ. I don't know about you, but I do look forward to the day that Jesus comes again. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. But until that day, I want to love the Lord in such a way that I'm still out telling everybody I can so they don't get left behind and have to leave this world lost in their sin. Folks, we need to pray that God would help us in all that we do. And the only way that happens, it happens through prayer. I'm not going to say any more about that, but I want to tell you a little story this morning. I got a few minutes here. The story is told about a man named William Walford. How many of you know William Walford? If you knew him, you're very old. He lived from 1772 until 1850, okay? All right. I just was curious, okay? He lived over in England. He was a simple wood carver. He had no real education, but he had a very sharp memory, and he held the reputation of knowing the Bible from his heart. He knew the Bible from his heart. And it was given to him, this impression was given to him by the fact that this humble Englishman was able to quote scriptures accurately, including the precise chapter and verse, in spite of the fact that he was totally blind. Totally blind. He had folks come to him that would read him the Word of God, and he would commit to memory all of those things that he had heard read to him. And around 1845 or so, 5 years before he died, there was a pastor that came to visit him from his church. And Mr. Walford had developed a poem in his heart and in his mind, but he needed somebody to write it down. And so the pastor, Pastor Salmon, came to him and he wrote it down for him. And Pastor Salmon was so thrilled with the beauty of the poem that he said, man, we got to put some music to this. And it was not until after Mr. Walford died that a man named William Bradbury has put to music many of the poems, Fanny Crosby's poems and things like that. He put it to music. And he put William Walford's poem to music. And later, after Mr. Walford died, this poem circulated, the song circulated all around the world, and it was put in different languages. And the title of his poem was Sweet Hour of Prayer. I read through the words of this song again this week. And I think, did we sing that this morning? I thought we did. Look at those verses on the back again. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and my wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. The joys I feel, the bliss I share. With strong desires for thy return, with such I hasten to this place where God my Savior shows his face and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Amen. But listen to the last verse. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. May I thy consolation share till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and I take my flight. This old robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Amen. Oh, that you and I today would see the importance of praying for one another, for the ministry, for those that need to hear the word of God. Finally, my brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Let's make prayer a part of our lives today, folks. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, I know the lesson has been a long one today, but God, thank you for the privilege that we have to pray. And God, I pray, Lord, today for those that may be listening to this lesson, either through the internet or here in person, God, I pray, Lord, for me somebody that's lost, they need a Savior. God, that you'll help them to see the need today to be saved. God, help us as your children to be willing to trust you and to obey you and to take time to spend in prayer. We love you today. Bless our services. Bless the baptism this morning. Well, the one that got saved was in our class here today. God, thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that you'll just bless in all that we do and say for you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. We love you. Thank you for being in class today.